Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello and welcome to Deplorable Nation, episode number 16. Today I've titled the episode Feed Me, and you'll see why in just a little while. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, so welcome everybody. New listeners, thank you for tuning in. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, my dear friend, Miss Katie. Miss Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm great today, Janet.
I'm so excited that you're on because you and I have been going back and forth about this on Twitter for a while until I was banned. And yeah, thankfully, my husband found you today and was like, hey, poke, poke.
I know. I was not expecting that. But like whenever I saw that you were taken down, I was like, God damn, how am I going to get in touch with Janet? Because I'm on Parler, but everyone knows Parler just is really not the same. And so in Greg messaged me, and it was something funny about like, let your phone fill in the rest of the sentence. And mine was like, I stuff my turkey with the chicken or something. And I was like, I don't know.
It was so funny because you and I had like identical answer.
Oh, really?
To that in our phone. But I had to laugh because since he still has a Twitter, he told me, he said, when he posted that, one of the comments said, I stuffed my turkey with Deplorable Janet.
That's great.
That was like the funniest response out of all of them.
Yes, so I was hoping I was going to get something like that. But of
I know, right? And we just get chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, chicken. Seriously?
But it makes – I'm a chef, so why did you get that?
Well, we do eat chicken all the time, so I don't know if that's why or what happened with that. But I was like, of all the things my phone could have picked, and that's what it picked. Give me a break. No creativity in that whatsoever.
It's like, Apple, I thought you were listening way closer to me. Don't you know me better than this?
I know, right? And that's a funny thing. People that don't know what we're talking about, there's a meme that my husband posted earlier today. And it's one of those where you type in the phrase, I stuff my turkey with, and then hit the middle button.
Autocorrect, middle button.
Yeah, to see what it fills in. And of course, her and I both had the exact same answer, though, so that was funny.
You know, we're always on the same wavelength, though. So
that is very true. And I'm proud to say, I'm excited to learn, I should say, that you are an empath as well. So we definitely have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So give me a little background on you.
Okay, so I'm from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, actually, born and raised. So obviously, big food culture, community, parades, everything. Like, we are just a community full of people who love to eat a lot and drink even more.
Oh, my God, me too.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Janet. You belong here, honestly. No, it's like any chance to walk down the side of the road with a daiquiri in your hand and like do whatever, have probably someone flash you off of a tent, like,
oh, sweet. That's Louisiana. So that's
how I was raised. My parents got divorced when I was really young. I was raised by my father mostly, and just went through a lot of stuff at an early age that made me grow up really fast.
Right.
But I never took it as an excuse, you know? It always just pushed me to work even harder. So that's how I got into the service industry pretty much the day I turned 16, just working at like a local bar and grill, and immediately just, I fell in love with it. I've always wanted to work, and that's something that my mom kind of did the opposite of, and I was always determined to be better and, you know, take that and turn it into a positive. So
it's like a big success story, because you always hear from the mainstream media most of the time about how everybody in the United States is so underprivileged, and, you know, nobody can make it unless mm-hmm. you're already rich and right. whatnot. But you made something for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that my dad, and I don't know, you know, I really feel for people who don't have their fathers in their lives, but my dad definitely, he took some weird routes to get to the job that he ended up in, but he was always very open-minded, and like, he didn't know what he was doing raising a daughter. So he just taught me that as long as I believed in something, then that's all that mattered to him. Like, even when it came to religious stuff, because my mom's side of the family was Catholic and his family was Lutheran. And so he just said, you know, as long as you're a good person and you work hard, that's really all that matters. And I really took that and just, I mean, I think I always had an innate way of like discernment and really mm-hmm. knowing, you know, true from false. And that's something right. I may have learned a little bit of that, you know, growing up kind of fast, but I really think I was born with it for the most part.
Yep. Absolutely.
And there's just certain things like, you know, your intuition isn't something that you can explain to anybody, but
that's very true.
You learn over time to trust your gut. And that's something that actually getting into conspiracies and things, and I kind of got into numerology a little bit, and like, you know, I don't believe that there are coincidences, but I feel like it has brought me to just look into everything deeper and realize like, oh, hey, like I do just need to trust myself and trust my gut.
Right. Now, do you, and thanks to your dad, because those are very wise words while he was raising you. So kudos to your dad. But do you find, and Greg and I were having this discussion the other day that, you know, we both consider ourselves pretty darn smart, but we have both learned so much just in a year's time.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Way past what we knew before. Do you find yourself like you can't unknow things? And
yes.
So you're like a sponge. And once you start learning, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, feed me more.
Yeah, no.
Are you that way too?
I am 100% that way. And you know, that's something that that's the whole reason why I became a chef, is because I wanted to be able to learn something every day and have things changing. But especially like with the shutdowns in the service industry, I had even more time to literally question everything. Like, I would not read an article without, if there was a word that I was like, I think I know what this is, but I'm not really sure. And I would look it up, you know, like it's,
right.
I think it's something about being able to like get over your own ego and realize like, hey, let me check, like if I'm actually understanding these things correctly, or even just, you know, taking the time to learn so much more about what's going on in our world. And I can't say that a year ago, I don't feel like I knew anything.
Right. And it's so funny because once you start looking into stuff, it's almost like an overwhelming cascade of information.
Mm-hmm.
And every day you're like, holy crap, I just learned something else I didn't
yeah.
know. Oh my
yeah.
God, there's more.
No, and you could ask my newly husband, actually ask him about that. There are definitely days that I know I've just overwhelmed him to the point of like tears, because he hasn't really like gone down the rabbit holes with me. Or there would even be days where like I'm at home literally studying 12 hours worth of stuff, and then he comes home and I try to have a conversation with him about it, and I have to be like, oh wait, he didn't just study this with me. Like,
exactly.
it's you know, and I can't force him to, and that's okay. Like, this is my thing, but
he's looking at you going, hmm?
Yeah. Like, he trusts me, but he's just like, what is going on in your brain? And I'm like, I could write probably a 50-page thesis on it, but we don't have time for that. So just trust
me. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, don't you find that like amazing though? Because it wakes up parts of you that almost were kind of like sleeping before.
Yeah, absolutely. And it,
and you're like, holy cow.
And the crazy thing, I don't know if it was like this for you too, but like for me, it was like a physical and mental, like yes. just literally yep. seeing the world with new eyes.
Right.
And it's like some days it's terrifying what you see. And then other yeah. days it's the most beautiful, like humbling experience to just
right.
walk into your backyard. And
yeah. And I agree with that. And that's what I try to tell people a lot of times about having to take a break and reset. Mm-hmm. There's so many things you're being bombarded with all at once. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize how that impacts you, not just mentally, but physically. It may disrupt your sleep patterns, mm-hmm. things like that. So it's really important for people to take time out, if not daily, as often as you can during the week, and just do a reset and don't look at social media, don't watch the news, whatever. Just do things that you enjoy doing, whether it's listening to music or doing puzzles or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do something that resets you back to your, I guess I want to say normal state, where you're not vibrating on such a high frequency.
I think you just have to gradually elevate yourself, you know, right. as not to like shock the system, which right. I did not do. And I fully got the system shock. And mm-hmm. It took me a while to really like recenter myself. But I feel like I came out the other end just like when I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, the light was like the brightest thing I've ever seen, you know?
Right.
Like, I definitely went through it the hard way, but I think part of it at the beginning when I was learning all this stuff, I felt a lot of like, I thought my family was going to think I was crazy. And I was terrified because I already knew how my husband was feeling about it and my friends particularly. And my grandmother is like my idol. And I was like, she's going to disown me. She's going to think I'm nuts. And so I had a week where I pretty much scheduled appointments with the important people in my family to like,
I'm going to pencil you in at 2:00.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, like got my wine and got whatever I needed and like went over and sat down and just started off be like, okay, I know this is going to sound crazy, but hear me out. And mm-hmm. surprisingly, actually my dad, whenever I started sending him some stuff, his response was, so do you know who Q is? And I was just exactly. like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah. I love that.
and then my grandmother, she was like, oh yeah, we've always known how horrible the Clintons are. You know, like certain things like that.
Exactly.
Where I was just like, oh, thank God. Like, just because the media had been telling me like forever that this is the most batshit crazy thing, that this right. would never happen. And so I was like so terrified of being disowned by them, and they were like, oh no, we're here for you, we know, we
like,
got
we
you
knew, but thanks for finally coming
yeah,
along.
Yeah,
thank you, sweetie, that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, after my whole PowerPoint presentation of everything, exactly. they're like, yeah, we know.
Slideshow and everything, and they're yes. like, oh honey, now you sit down and have some more wine, let's tell yes. you some things.
100%, yes.
Which is funny because there's so many people that I think are in the same situation where they are absolutely terrified to talk yeah. to people and about things that they learn.
Right. And that's self-censorship. You know,
right.
it's like we have it bad enough having the big tech censorship and we have the self-censorship. And like, I'm guilty of it too. I really, you know, I have my people on Twitter, at least when they're not getting banned. But, but then even myself, like I'm shadow banned half the time. It's just, I'm in the echo chamber, you know? So it, mm-hmm. there are definitely times where like you feel like people are screaming at you so loud and it feels very alone, but you're like, I know my people are out there somewhere. And it's like
right.
running into somebody at like a gas station or something, you know, like someone brings right. it up and they're like, hey, did you hear about Wayfair? And I'm like, oh my God, there's hope. It's not,
right.
not everyone, you know?
Right. And you know, what's funny is the more they attack me, the funnier it gets to me, because I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I can write it down to go yeah. today. I was called a C word, or I was called mm-hmm. this, or I was called that, or I was, but, and I'm just like, it's the funniest shit to me because mm-hmm. it really does not bother me one iota what somebody else's opinion of me is or what they think I should be. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm happy with who I am. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic. I pat myself on the back all the time. And I'm like, you know what? You're pretty awesome. And just because somebody called you, you know, a cunt muffin or something like that, so what? You know, like, what's yeah. that going to do to my day?
I think Nothing. It's pretty obvious that you're doing something right with the amount of yeah. censorship that you've gotten. Like that, yeah. if that doesn't tell you something, I don't, like...
It's so funny because, you know, it's not like I had a ginormous account like some of these people that, you know, have millions of followers or 200,000 or something. I'm just a small account, but I am so vocal and so passionate mm-hmm. about stuff.
And so well informed too, though. Like that's yeah. something that you do not get from ever. Honestly, there are a lot of big accounts that I feel like I don't get a lot other than
any
they have
information?
Been the first, yeah, any information, or they may have been the first to reshare something or, right. you know, like speculate on something. But as far as actual facts, like you were the first person that I was following that I feel like was helping me like continue my education and understand what's going on rather than just being like, well, if you know, you know.
And me, I'm a total nerd burglar, and I will admit it. I love to read as far as like stuff I like to read. Like I mm-hmm. don't want to sit down and read a book because that bores me mm-hmm. unless it's something that interests me, mm-hmm. but I love to research stuff.
I feel and like so, I'm the same. Yeah. I hate yeah. reading books, but when I, yeah. when I'm digging for something, I
like
will
you
not
can't
stop. Yeah.
Yeah. That's me. And then my husband's like, what are you doing up so early? And I'm like, haven't been to bed yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning and it's 7 o'clock now, mm-hmm. it, you know, and it does, it disrupts my sleep pattern. But when I get into something, yeah. I can't quit.
So you want to hear something kind of funny?
Well, duh, so yes.
In the beginning of all the lockdowns and whatnot here, and when I first got laid off from my last job, actually, I was completely addicted to playing Yahtzee on my phone, like yes. nonstop 24 hours. Like I went like 2 days, I think, without sleeping, just sitting at home playing Yahtzee constantly. And that was right before. But I would like play Yahtzee and listen to podcasts and listen to like No Mercy. And then I started like digging into rabbit holes and it completely took over my Yahtzee obsession.
Exactly.
But so my husband tells me one day, he's like, so you went from a game about statistics to like gambling on politics and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, this is even better. Like it's even more of statistics and gambling right. and everything. It's just to the it's extreme Yahtzee. Like right. who knows what every day you're going to get.
And that's very true. And it's all about like I'm very analytical. I'm not so much a numbers, like accounting person. That mm-hmm. bores me. I graduated
so
in that first.
Right brain.
I hated
like,
it.
I don't even understand. Numbers are not my thing.
Yeah, me neither. And that bored the shit out of me. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to go back and get a different kind of degree because I hate this. Mm-hmm. And I can't see myself sitting behind a desk. But I'm so analytical in my thought process. I hate to use the word, but almost kind of like diabolical. You know what I mean? I'm like yeah, plotting. Yeah. I'm plotting all these things going, oh, this is what I need to do right now. Mm-hmm. And I actually make notes for myself of things that, you know, like people have mentioned or stuff I've seen, things I need to watch, podcasts mm-hmm. I need to listen to. I make lists.
Oh, me too.
I must be a dork.
I carry a notebook with me. I actually currently have like two planners in my bag and like mm-hmm. multiple notebooks and stuff. And I mean, that's for me, that's a chef thing too. Like I'm constantly
right.
making those lists and recipes. And like it's a very methodical way of going through a process. But like I've always felt like if I don't write something down, it doesn't exist to me.
Right. But I feel like for me, it's like a like I said, diabolical, because it's like scheming for me. I'm like, ooh, when I get home, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to find somebody to talk about this on a show with. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't know. Like,
diabolical, maybe that's genius.
Yeah, maybe that's the wrong word, but that's totally that's totally me, because it's like, oh my God, this is something absolutely amazing I have to tell everyone about. How am I going to do it best? You know, kind of like a little horror movie in my head.
Yeah, there you go. I get it. That's I jokingly like spell out skits for my husband. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, like, what if I did this and this and this? And
he's like, that's a whole other podcast, Katie.
Well, yeah. You'd probably enjoy that one too, though.
We're going to have to work on that one for a future episode. So what exactly? Yeah, no, it's gonna be at a time and place where they cannot ban me ever again. So there you go.
Anyway,
so what exactly is it? Number one, that got you looking into things, like what was the big aha moment? And second of all, how did all this coronavirus affect you?
Okay, so I guess we'll have to backtrack just a little bit on that. I started listening to like No Mercy podcast a while back. I think I mentioned that. And that's where like I was first introduced to you and the guys. And at first I thought most of it was bullshit, to be honest. Like I thought it was the most entertaining, whatever. And there were some things that I would look into or be like, oh, I've heard of that before. But Nasara was the one that was mentioned, and like I was like, huh, I've never heard of that before. I want to know what that is. And so that was the first like real rabbit hole that I went down. But the thing that clicked for me was when I realized that the guy who wrote Draining the Swamp, the book that Nasara is based on, and I know a lot of listeners might not know exactly what Nasara is, but it's a good rabbit hole. You should go down it.
Right. Definitely.
But anyway, so I found out that Harvey Francis Bernard was an LSU graduate, and I found like his obituary and my digging and stuff and realized like all this stuff was happening literally right, you know, close to my house. And
in your backyard.
Yeah, in my backyard. Yeah. I was like, okay, like there's a lot of other things where people post like pictures of things that happen in other cities or other memorials and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but this could be edited, whatever. So I look at this and I start talking to a few of my friends who actually live like over in the area where he supposedly lived. And they're like, oh yeah, there's a big, like, it looks like a headstone and it's a memorial for something called Nasara, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, holy shit, this thing is actually real. And that's what kind of opened me up to realizing that most of the things that I thought were not true were actually true, because Nasara might be one of the craziest things in the conspiracy world, you know, at least in my opinion, you know. But then it also just made me think about, so that was my first rabbit hole, really. And then kind of got me into like political things, but then through kind of developing my Twitter and like just making a little bit more of a community and like getting to know other anons or whatever you want to call them, like truthers, it just made me feel a lot more comfortable that other people also knew that something was going on. It was really wrong. And then Wayfair happened after everyone knew about, you know, Epstein, his mainstream media, whatnot. But so the Wayfair thing comes out and I share an article on my Facebook, and within 30 minutes, I got a notification that was like, fact checker said that you're spreading misinformation. And I'm like, okay. So I click it and it's like the CEO of Wayfair said this isn't true.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. So I screenshot it and I go put it on Twitter and I'm like, tag Facebook, and I'm like, hey, try convincing some other sheep. Like, I'm not buying this. This is the most ridiculous investigation I've ever heard of. Right. And so, you know, with part of the stuff with Wayfair was that like They were selling the cabinets. They had two different stories. One said that they were overpriced and it was a glitch. Others said that right. It was accurately priced. And then the names, like one of the names was Yuritsa. And I was like, that's not, yeah, we see furniture that's like the Ashley couch and stuff mm-hmm. like that. This is not the same thing. Right. And they match up with, you know, actual missing children. And that's what I feel like part of me was asleep to the issue of human trafficking. But it's something that I've kind of turned off and on for years. I first learned about human trafficking when I was a freshman in high school, watching mm-hmm. some like independent Netflix movie. It was called Megan is Missing. It's probably not even up anymore. Right. But it's this like little, not very well done movie that's about like these teenage girls and they're messaging people online and they go meet up with them. And obviously one of them gets taken. And at the end of the movie, they shared a bunch of statistics. And that's when it said that Baton Rouge was within the top five cities in the nation for human trafficking.
Right. That's what I was just going to say for people that don't know. Louisiana actually has really high numbers for the amount of children that go missing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really vast area down there. There's a lot of swampy areas and
there's
stuff.
There's a lot of swamps. There's a lot yep. of truck stops. There's right. a lot of freight traffic. And right. as we know, that's one of the easiest ways for them to do it. So,
right.
And it's something that I think we're kind of aware of now, but even people in Baton Rouge don't realize the severity of it and how, yes, it's a national problem, but in Baton Rouge, it's one of the worst places for it to happen.
Right.
And when right. I first learned about this, like I said, I was a freshman in high school. Like I was the target age. Like I had been going to the mall with my friends since like the seventh grade, being dropped off all day by ourselves and,
right.
you know, just doing what teenagers do and never thought anything of it. But even as like a 14-year-old, I was like, holy shit, my friends need to know about this. Like, I don't want to see anyone that I know be a victim of this, but how can you protect yourself or be aware if you don't even know it's happening?
Right.
So that's how, at the time, I really just, you know, I'm not a super religious person, but I am a very spiritual person. And if you've ever heard the term, people say like, God put it on my heart or like my soul right. is on fire over this.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. how I felt. And looking back at it now, I don't know how I did it. Like, I ended up organizing an entire chapel at the school I was at and letting – it was me and, like, four or five seniors that had gone to a, like, religious conference thing, and they learned about it. But I was kind of, like, the authority on the topic, which mm-hmm. is hilarious to me at the time because, like, I am not – a super outgoing person. I'm a lot more now than I used to be. I was being, you know, in the South, you're kind of taught to be like a sweet, polite little girl and like, you know, mm-hmm. only speak unless spoken to and that kind of stuff. Right. But I went through all this and I had some bracelets printed that we gave out to everybody and they said priceless on them and printed a Bible verse and everything. And that, yeah, that was just in my freshman year. And then I ended up switching schools and went to a new church and was in these youth groups. And it was the same kind of thing that I ran into where I was just kind of casually talking about it. And people were like, what? What are you talking about? Like, it's the same thing with, like, I guess that was probably my first red pill. Like,
right.
when I was a freshman in high school and people were just like, oh, I don't know about this. So it's always been a thing where I've tried to at least spread awareness, and it's not to scare people. It's a scary thing, but
it's just to make people aware.
Yeah. I know personally from being like at the prime, you know, age and stereotype to be abducted or trafficked or whatever. Like I didn't even know that that was something I should be looking out for.
Right.
So,
and yeah. you know, I find that so weird living in a state that has such high numbers that they don't, that it's not like on the news, they mm-hmm. don't talk to people about this, like they don't spread awareness. It's almost like people are like, oh, yeah, so, well, little Johnny down the road, he disappeared, or you yeah. know, Sally's mm-hmm. gone too, but yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there's a few local newspapers or, you know, sites that they'll share they'll do the annual statistics, but like every year they're just like, hey, it went up, or like they put these billboards up and they're terrifying looking billboards, you know, like kids with someone's hands over their mouth and they're like, you know, just it. That I think is like almost a little more just fear mongering when you're not really doing anything about it.
That's what I was just going to say. So it's all nice and good to like once a year put out a broadcast or, you know, a news story or, you know, crime statistics or whatnot. But if you don't do anything the rest of the year, sorry, this is going to maybe offend you, but fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because think of it this way. Some people are like, oh, I refuse to believe it's true. It's not true. Like, there's no human trafficking. There's no child trafficking. No, that doesn't happen. There's no kidnapping. Most of the kids, like, are returned home, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Anybody that comes at you sideways about that, especially somebody that's a parent, okay, great. That's your argument today until somebody swipes your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only way that a lot of these people that have so much negative to say about your concerns about things like this, that's the only way that they're going to be like, oh my God, well, I guess it is true. And now you're supposed to care and everyone else is supposed to care because my child went missing. Okay, but you just belittled everyone else whose mm-hmm. child has been missing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. And even when I had shared stuff about Wayfair on my Twitter thread, I got a comment from a girl who said, hey, I'm the girl in this picture. I'm not missing. And like sent me a link to her TikTok or something. And it was just... I'm sorry if this is really the girl, but it looked very sketchy. The videos that she had looked very coerced.
Right.
And when I saw all of that and people were saying, like, you're ruining this girl's lives and stuff like that by posting this, my thought was like, okay, I really hope this isn't true, but doesn't it deserve an actual investigation? Not exactly. 30 minutes later, a CEO says, oh, it's not true. It's not true because I said so. Like, no, it's exactly. like I actually have more respect for these children and girls and, you know, missing men and women and boys, that they deserve the full potential of the law, you know, to actually figure out, like, you know, I wouldn't be upset if somebody thought that I was missing and somebody were like, oh, hey, we're just checking up on you to make sure you are okay. Like, what, that's the worst thing that can happen, right?
I know, right? I like, most people would consider themselves lucky if someone decided to check up on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And instead, you have these people that are so quick to like shut everything down. Oh, debunked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Who does that sound like? Like, I don't know, the politicians or Jack Dorsey or, you know, Google CEOs mm-hmm. or YouTube CEOs or what? Oh, it's not true. Doesn't mm-hmm. happen. Yeah, we don't censor anyone. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, no, that's not true. Oh, there's a bunch of photos of me, like, you know, having sex with children. Oh, yeah, no, it's not true, and it's not true because I said it's not true, so it's not true.
Right.
Or we had Snopes look, so it's not
yeah.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like,
do a little bit of a better job, please.
Exactly. Please put forth some effort. And even like with the Wayfair thing, when it was like a pricing glitch, wink, wink. Those are algorithms, analytics that are built into a system. Those are built by human beings. Those are things that have to be programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Pricing glitches don't just happen. Those are human made algorithms or analytics. That's mm-hmm. it is absolutely not possible. If anybody knows anything about coding and, you know, and data analytics and stuff, it's absolutely not possible mm-hmm. to yeah. be a quote mistake or glitch.
And, you know, in my mind, the thing that I was looking for was maybe an actual human to say, hey, I made this cabinet and I named it after my daughter. Like, look, here's proof or something, you know, right. Like some sort of link with that. But that was never, ever given, you know, like it wasn't even right. addressed. It was like all the individual little things had all different little excuses that just did right. not add up.
Well, you know, when I'm shopping, I normally look for $12,000 pillows, don't mm-hmm. you?
Yes, honestly. There's nothing better than a $12,000 pillow.
Exactly. You know.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm going to buy it on Wayfair.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, you think all these millionaires and so, like, really? That's what you should check into. Like, see, check whose phone actually has Wayfair.
Exactly.
And see how much money they make. And,
it would not be me because I've never shopped there in my life and I never will, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
You know, I like to support local businesses just because that's the way our economy works. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in making bigger corporations bigger than they already are because, you know, look at Google and Twitter and Facebook. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Yep.
So for you, the child trafficking came first and the Wayfair was like a sock between the eyeballs and you're like, mm-hmm. what the heck?
Yeah.
What do you do or how has it affected you and your life and maybe your household with all the coronavirus lockdowns and stuff?
To be perfectly honest, it has not been easy. So I, like I said, I've been in the service industry since the day I turned 16. That's how I met my husband. We met waiting tables together about 5 years ago. And so he's also actually a manager at a restaurant in town. And we both really love what we do. Like, we have a very strong service industry community. And when the lockdowns first started happening, first it was kind of like a trickle down, like cutbacks. And at least for him, it was. He was in a little bit better standing than I was. At my previous job, I actually ended up taking a new job a couple months ago in the middle of the lockdown. But it was a clean cut where I did not have any shifts at work. And I was told that no one else really was either. That only the head chef was going to be getting shifts. And then I found out that it was like him and like two of his friends. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. So I actually started cooking food and really feeding the people in my neighborhood. I got to actually reach out to and meet my neighbors probably for the first time. And, you know, crazy thing is we bought my childhood home. So the people that have lived around us, a lot of them lived here when I was a kid too, and I'm really just meeting them for the first time and getting to help feed them in a time of need, you know, actually bringing communities together. So right. that was really nice. I got to do that, and then I got called back to work and was doing stuff for something called 3 o'clock Project, which was helping kids at local schools that they were out of school, help them get school lunches. So we were doing up to like 4,000 lunches in a morning. So I was working at like 4 a.m. to noon doing that. My. Yeah. That wasn't really easy either. But like at that point, I was so happy to get back to work. I didn't right. care what it was going to be. Right. And all in the middle of this, my wedding was supposed to be in April. We had been engaged for 3.5 years. And with the lockdown, whenever they said, like, you know, no large gatherings and everything with the masks and just actually when all the government buildings closed, that's when they kind of forced our hand. And we're like, okay, I guess we're not getting married when we thought we were going to.
That sucks.
Yeah, it really sucked. You know, I had a wedding dress sitting in my grandmother's closet for 3 years and I had already like taken my bridal photos. I was good to go. And I had planned this whole wedding by myself. And then it was like overnight. I was like, wait, okay, so it's not happening? Or like, maybe next week
wasn't it supposed to be 14 days to flatten the curve?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I don't know, like how many months ago now?
It was like, yeah, 220 days ago. We're on day 220 something of 15 days to flatten the curve.
Exactly.
Yeah. So hey, when
that means somebody's math is really fucked up.
I think so.
Are those like multiplication tables that you're doing from 14 days to get to the way we are now?
I think they left an exponent off.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so that I was dealing with all that. But at the same time, it was so far on the back burner because we're just trying to get through every day, you know, like trying not to tap into like our wedding savings just to be able to like have food and water and gas in our cars and like still continue to go to work for like barely anything, you know?
Right. And exactly.
So we did all that. And then I actually, out of the blue, which I don't believe in coincidences, I think absolutely everything happens for a reason. But I got a call from a friend of mine in culinary school who said to come meet with his boss. And so I did. And it turned out they were looking for somebody in town to help them run operations for feeding the military. So mostly like government contracts for like National Guard and Air Force, Marines, like pretty much everything.
That's fantastic. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. So that whenever the offer was presented to me, I was just like, wait a second. I get to cook like a lot of food and actually have a steady job. And, you know, these are contracts. So, right. You know, it's you're not sitting by the door waiting for somebody to come into your restaurant every day, you know?
Right.
And you're not worried that they're going to be upset because, you know, you put the dressing on the salad instead of on the side or something, you know, right. Like all those little things. And so I gladly accepted the job and I honestly haven't been happier. It's very satisfying knowing that when I go to work every day or when we have these contracts that I'm actually getting to feed the men and women who are out there working their asses off just to make sure that our cities are safe. And it's not just here. It's all over the country.
Everywhere.
All over the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what, when you told me about this, I got so excited because I'm a huge supporter of military, police, and things like that. My whole entire family was military. I couldn't be more excited that this opportunity came up for you because anything people can do in that aspect, even if you're in the drive-through line and you see like military members behind you or police behind you or something, pay for their meal every once in a while.
Yeah.
It is such a satisfying feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a restaurant, pick up their tab.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't have money right now, but even like a coffee in the drive-through at Starbucks or, oh my God, I said Starbucks for all the people that know about Starbucks. But you know what I'm saying, at a coffee shop, you know, a local coffee shop or whatever. If even paying for somebody to have a meal is the most rewarding experience ever. So I cannot even imagine the joy that you have in doing your job every day.
Yeah. When I got the job offer, it all kind of started really quickly where I actually ended up traveling. So I ended up in like 4 different military bases across Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi within my first couple of weeks of starting to work with them. And it was even some of them where I was following the same group, like from Hattiesburg to New Orleans, and getting to actually know some of these people. And we are one of the only catering companies that works with the military that actually accepts things for like dietary restrictions or things that, you know, they don't like we take requests. And that's another something that's really nice about my job now is that I'm not just cooking to order specifically, you know, over and over again. Like I get to pick what I want to feed them every day.
Right.
And
right.
that for me, it's just like, I love being able to get their feedback and see what they actually want to eat. Like the bare minimum I can do is make sure that they're happy and healthy. And because it's not just about loading them up with, you know, if they said they wanted fried chicken every day, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. But like, we're going to help right. you take care of yourselves. And, you know, right. don't worry, we'll make sure you have a good dessert too. But having an right. actual balanced meal and just actually like food that's cooked with love. I know that's cheesy to say, but
it's not, because especially for all the people listening who maybe you only like are you by yourself, you cook for yourself, you're widowed, or you know, whatever the case may be, single, etc., or like you live far away from your family, so you don't get the holidays, you don't get the home cooked meals. There is, honest to God, nothing better than a home cooked meal. There's just not, because it makes people so much happier than just taking out a box and throwing it in the microwave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The taste quality does not even compare.
Yeah. And this is even really a new development, as far as I know, with them getting catered meals, because
right.
they usually got MREs, you know? And so to hear right. some of these guys say, this is the best food I've ever had in the military, like makes right. me want to cry.
And if some of our listeners have never had an MRE before, I know some of our listeners are military, but like for people who aren't, oh, I cannot even describe them. I've actually had them because, like I said, my family was military. Right. So multiple times in my life there were MREs, and I'm telling you, I cannot even describe flavorless, tasteless.
Yeah, so I've heard
cardboard paper. This is your steak in mm-hmm. a packet, you yeah. know, and it comes. A lot of them come in like a foil,
dried and powdered foil, stuff. And,
yeah, like yeah. a foil bag type thing, or mm-hmm. or whatnot. And oh, mm.
Yeah, I did not grow up with military in my family, but that's another way that I feel like I just feel blessed every day to get to know more and more right. that I know about, you know, what they're really doing for us. I mean, there have definitely right. been times where I've been talking to them or really just, you know, standing with my boss next to me who knows a lot more about things that I don't know, and just hearing things where I'm like, shit, I don't think I'm supposed to hear this, but like, right. there's crazy, like any... It's not a conspiracy that there's crazy stuff going on.
Right. No, it's not.
Every single day. But I also know for a fact that they're working hard to, you know, stop anything bad from happening, like literally protecting our lives every day.
Right. And, you know, I'm so thankful and so blessed, not just for active and retired now, but all through our history, because people that have never made that ultimate sacrifice, and it's not just the person who joins the service, mm-hmm. it's literally their entire family.
Absolutely.
Because everybody that's related to them or in their family or in their family group or friend group, everyone is affected. Mm-hmm. You know, and if something happens to that particular soldier, it affects so many people. Mm-hmm. And so many of the military and the police see things on a daily basis that you would wish in your lifetime you never, ever had to come across. The amount of PTSD that they suffer, mm-hmm. The amount of trauma that they suffer, it's horrendous. And the personal attacks on the military and the police and stuff now make me so angry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a violent person, but it makes me want to literally throat punch.
Yeah.
Every person.
It is upsetting to me. Like, seriously, to just the lack of disrespect or lack of respect for them is the saddest thing, because these are the people right. that we should have the utmost respect for. Like, right. I can't even fathom how you would say anything negative when these men and women have made such a huge sacrifice.
And you know, the funny thing is, like, when they had the Chaz / Chop zone and all mm-hmm. that stuff, and we hate cops and cops can't come in. This is an autonomous zone. No cops are allowed in here. You know, we don't need any of you city workers or county workers or state workers, blah, 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 blah. Until one of their homies gets shot, one of their buddies gets shot. And then it's like, pissed because the police aren't there, or pissed because the ambulance is afraid to come in because they're terrified mm-hmm. because of the war zone that you just created. You can literally not have it both ways.
Nope.
If you don't want police, then don't fucking try to call them when something happens to you or your mama or your dad or your friend. Then don't call them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't have it both ways. You can't be out in the street yelling, defund the police.
Yeah.
You know, while your parents live in a mansion and you're a trust fund baby, and then somebody breaks into the house and the first thing you do, because mommy and daddy are off to Italy or something, is call the police. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do that. No, you don't. Mm-mm. I would gladly stand with the military or the police any day of the week.
Yeah. No, and I mean, they're scared too at times, like, and mm-hmm. rightfully so. I mean, I'm sure you heard about, I guess it was a couple of years ago now, there was the Alton Sterling shooting in Baton Rouge.
Right.
And that right. actually happened right in front of my dad's job at the time. And Ricky and I were actually in Disney World and didn't know what was going on. And then I go home and check my phone and I've got a bunch of missed calls. My grandmother's like, just want you to know your dad's okay, all this stuff. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so they're like, you haven't watched the news? And I'm like, I don't get the news in Disney World. Sorry.
Exactly.
And yeah, so when they told me that and I finally talked to my dad, he said that they had called the police and several security companies asking if they could get an escort out, because that's where all the crowds were gathering. And mm-hmm. I mean, I get it, but they were just trying to get out, make sure that they get home safe. And every single person that they called said, nope, we are not coming right. out there, which part of me feels like, you know, maybe it would have been worse if they came out. You know, maybe that would have made them even more of a target. But it's crazy that we even have to think about those things, you know? So he had no choice but to just be like, all right, I guess I'm just going to try and drive through this.
And wing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, yeah, well, thank God you were okay. But now this is something that we really have to deal with. And just, it's scary. It's a scary thing.
But you know, think about, like, all of these areas, especially Portland. Portland is literally a cesspool of crime and corruption. Mm-hmm. So think about all of the business owners, all of the citizens that live there and stuff that have to face this horseshit, yeah, literally
they're dealing
every
with the
day.
Same thing, yeah, but it's been going on for months. And why?
Right.
Why? Like, that's
because they're a bunch of
no, and I know why, but it's
highly
crazy.
Questionable people in charge. Let's put it nicely.
Yeah, but just the fact that normal words. People don't realize that, and I say normal people, like, I think we're right. normal people. We just can actually think for ourselves, but the right. people who only listen to mainstream media do not, it's like they don't even consider the casualties, basically.
Well, no,
you know?
because CNN and MSNBC are, you know, having reporters in front of all this stuff going, oh, they're peaceful protests, while shit is literally burning to the ground.
Yeah.
Behind
how can
them.
You, yeah.
But some people are so brainwashed that they're like, oh, look, a pretty campfire. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, they're so, and I don't want to say stupid or retarded or anything like that, but so
they're brainwashed.
Just numb.
They're so brainwashed.
Their consciousness is so numb. And yeah. that's the wording that I like to use, that mm-hmm. their consciousness is numb, because it's like, when you repeatedly feed false information over and over and over and over again on a loop. It's the same stuff that police or military use during standoffs or whatnot, where they continually play like really irritating music or whatnot. And that's kind of the way I see mainstream media, as if they repeat it enough and it finally makes people crazy. And then they're like, oh my God, you're right. All these protests are peaceful. Everybody else is insane.
I think we're watching the biggest MK Ultra scheme ever.
That was my point.
Yeah. There's barely any other explanation for it in my mind. Like, it just, I don't understand how so many people, and I say that, but that it's, you know, like you say, when you wake up, you can't go back to sleep.
Right.
And that's where I'm at. And I'm struggling to deal with the fact that not everyone else has woken up and I can't just shake them awake, no matter how hard I try. But,
You know, the funny thing is, like, in all of these areas where all of this looting and burning and crime and, you know, dragging people out of cars or beating people in their cars or destroying homes or, you know, going through neighborhoods in the middle of the night, screaming on bullhorns about get out of your house because we own this, you know, whatever. All of these people that live there that are citizens, they all pay taxes. So you are literally being robbed of your money to agencies who refuse to do their civic sworn duties to do their job and protect you. I have a problem with that. I have a really big problem with that as a taxpayer. I do. Because I'll be dang if you're going to keep collecting money from me or my family, literally every single paycheck, just to turn around and turn your back on me while people threaten my life, destroy my property, set fire to shit that I own, whatever. I don't think you should have to pay anymore. I just don't.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy for thinking that way, but that's just the way I feel about it.
No, I agree. And yeah, it's, I really have a hard time trying to even see things from that point of view, you know, like it just is absolutely mind-boggling to me. And especially for it to be going on this long, like maybe there would have been a month of rioting, which I think is still ridiculous in the amount of damage that can be done in that time. But the fact that this stuff is still going on, and just like we said earlier, you know, we're on day 200 and something of the 15 days to stop the spread. I'll tell you, I have never really cared that much about politics. I've never been excited for an election, but I am so fucking ready just to, I feel like I just want to get this shit over with, like one way or another, you know, like if we're really wrong about this and if Biden gets elected, I'd rather just start dealing with the consequences or figuring out what my plan B is. But I don't think, we used to joke and say like, oh, something happens, we're going to move to Japan or move to Canada or wherever. I don't think
don't move
there's
to Canada.
But that's what I'm saying. Like at this point, it's like, where would you go? America really should be the best place for us to be. And it should be terrifying to everyone that millions of Americans are having this same thought that where would we even go? Like, what if we couldn't control it? But
and
I don't see that as the outcome, honestly.
I will tell you, don't move to Greece like all of the celebrities are doing lately because, their pedophile laws over there are really laxed. So if you have kids, definitely don't move there.
I'm 5'1" girl who is very often mistaken for a child. So no,
we have
common. I'm not going over there. Mm-mm.
I'm 5'2", so I consider myself a hobbit.
Yeah.
5'1", 5'2", and we have everything else in common. We are two peas in a pod, young lady.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
Yes, we are.
So I just want to say, right before We went on, Greg and I were discussing this, you know, all the flip-flopping by the CDC and the World Health Organization and all that crap. And we never said that. Yes, you did say that. Oh, my God. Right. Knockdowns are awful and they're destroying families. No shit. Like, we all knew that. Like, I don't know, in January, but you guys are stupid. So, anyway, today, the genius fuck cheesy, Dr. Fauci himself, is trying to stop everyone from having Thanksgiving. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I 1,000,000% disagree with that for abundance of reasons. I also heard about them trying to stop Halloween or trick-or-treating, which I was just like, but that's when everyone, it's okay to wear masks and,
different.
Distance and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not really surprised. I hadn't heard about the Thanksgiving stuff. But one thing, as a chef, we understand the process of bacteria and when is a good time to when is the right time to wear gloves, or if you feel like you need to wear a mask, or which we really don't know that the masks don't say that they will stop coronavirus. I do not wear a mask, especially not with your own family. You're having Thanksgiving together, whatever it is. I'm sure some people are going to do it, but bacteria dies. What, at 200 degrees, maybe even less than that? But yeah, so literally anything that you are cooking before it goes in the oven, if anything happens to get on it, it will die. Like, that's, it is impossible for a virus to survive the oven. I'll put it that way.
Oh my God, a new revelation. Yeah, kind of like the same thing as sunlight.
Uh-huh.
And shit that sits out in the sunlight all day long. Yeah,
yeah, you stuff could say does that. Not,
Sure. Stuff does not live on those surfaces because, hello, it's superheated in the sun. Why do they tell you? This is another interesting thing. But the other day, there's a bunch of stuff that I was reading about sun gazing. And you know how we've always been told, don't look at the sun. It'll make you go blind.
Right.
You ever hear that growing up?
I did, yes.
I just want to say, okay, so you know when this first started and we discussed multiple times on multiple different, you know, platforms that sunlight and vitamin D helps to control not just the caca virus, but any kind of virus, okay? Also, it's very healthy for your immune system.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've always been told, and this is on a tangent of never believe everything that you're told because it's horse shit. This is our segment right now. This is another thing for you to question, okay? Ever since you were little, they always said, don't look at the sun because you'll go blind. It'll damage your eyeballs, blah, 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 blah. Sun gazing is actually a therapeutic thing that you can do. I've talked about before, like decalcifying your pineal gland. Sunlight and the vitamin D that you get from sunlight, if you actually do sun gazing, you don't have to stare into it for like an hour or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but doing that on a regular basis in spurts or intervals actually decalcifies your pineal gland. Your pineal gland is what's called your third eye, which will help people awaken to things that they are asleep to. Just saying.
Did you see any of the weird pictures of the sun in Egypt a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah. So I definitely saw those. I have had a strange intuition over the past couple months to just really start looking up at the sky. And so my camera roll has pretty much been filled up of like weird pictures of the sun and stars and random stuff. And I mean, their iPhone pictures are not great, but I've started noticing things where, like, just, you know, as I go down tons of different rabbit holes, and I certainly don't believe all of them. But one of them is the sun simulator, you know, rabbit hole. And right. So just to question everything, like, I'm like, I'm going to start looking at the sun. Let's just see. Does it look weird? Does it look different today?
Right.
And it does, at least in my opinion. But yeah. And of course, have you heard about our hurricane season?
Yes.
Yeah. Record-breaking hurricane season. We've had the most hurricane formations in the Gulf literally ever. We had the strongest hurricane to ever hit landfall in Louisiana ever. And
I just saw that.
Yeah. Yep. And then we had Hurricane Delta just came through. People just got their power back. We got lucky and didn't have any power outages or anything like that, even though our internet has been insane. We pretty much have to reset it or just go without it or whatever, pretty much once or twice a day, really. And so to think that there's things not really going on, like there's obviously something going on.
Well, and I want people to think back, people that listen to my Periscopes, me and Bob's Periscopes a lot. I talked about this quite a while ago, that one of the things that Gates of Hell, Bill Gates, was working on with Harvard, my other favorite university in the world, is to block out the sun. Now, we know that directed energy weapons and weather weapons is a thing. It's true.
Tesla technology.
It's called HARP. The weather stuff is HARP. It happens. So think about, oh my God, there's more hurricanes than there's ever been. Oh my God, there's more
even before
fires.
Yeah, even before we had Laura, right before, they were like, it's going to be a double hurricane. We've never seen this before. Right. And everyone's watching the radars, and then the news is like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And we're all like, all right, come on, guys. It's 2020. Okay. Let's address the actual reality that this might happen. Like, what is going to happen?
And I want people to think about the things that we just talked about. What climate accord just ended?
The Paris, right?
Exactly. Okay, so, oh my God, like this is the worst year ever for hurricanes. Oh my God, it's the worst year ever on record for floods and for tornadoes and for windstorms and for fires and blah, blah, blah. And it's global warming and it's climate change. And we need to get back into the Paris Climate Accord immediately. Does anybody see a problem with it? Because why did we pull out of that anyway? We are literally the only country on the planet paying shit tons of money. And we have to stick to strict emissions and things like that, but none of the other countries do. Think about slush funds. Think about money laundering. Can I ask anybody, and yes, I'm a climate denier in the aspect, climate has always happened. Climate will always happen.
Right.
But I want somebody with a coherent explanation, instead of coming at me batshit nuts, I want you to tell me how raping the taxpayers of their dollars, how's our money going to actually stop floods,
fix the weather,
tornadoes, you know, hurricanes, whatever. How is an actual dollar bill going to stop climate or weather from happening that has always happened ever since the world existed?
Also,
I want somebody to tell me that.
Also, why wouldn't you take that money and actually give it to the communities that probably just need help better weatherizing their homes?
Right.
I'll tell you that not a single person who's lived in Louisiana all their life is scared of hurricanes. We never have been, and we never will be.
Everyone, you're used to it.
Yeah, we are used to it, and we understand the people that live on the water. They have their evacuation plans. They know that yes, they could live anywhere else, but Louisiana is where we belong. I mean, we have this community that really thrives in times of need. And, you know, I've seen some little posts about like, all right, America, the Cajun Navy is going to show you how to be true patriots. And truth, I believe right. that with my whole heart.
Me too.
Because
100%.
I have been out there. I have been, you know, I've been lucky for the most part. Even like we had our flood in 2016, which I don't even think mainstream media covered ever, if not for maybe a day. It was a historic flood that literally, I want to say probably 90% of just Baton Rouge, which is not really, it's not like it's a waterlocked city. It's not New Orleans, you know, like
right.
we're above right. New Orleans, especially on sea level, but so many people's houses flooded and didn't have flood insurance because they weren't in a flood zone. Why would they? And took on feet of water. And those things, it happens, but to see the communities come together, and I promise you, nobody went without anything they didn't need. And it wasn't because of government assistance.
No, it's because people pulled together.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of my point. Like when I said, I don't believe that dollars are going to matter as far as changing, like, you know, flooding or changing wildfires or anything like that. No, it's just a slush fund. Because if actual dollar bills could actually, you know, bring the temperature down or, you know, whatever, why not just get some big cyclone thing and shoot it into the air?
Right.
I mean, honestly, that's how dumb. And they're like, oh, you don't know what all that money could go to. Of course I do. The United States literally pays every other country on the mother humping planet for everything. We pay for other countries' abortions. We pay for other countries' missile defense. We pay for other countries for literally everything under the sun. Do not even think for one second that the Paris Climate Accord is about actually affecting the climate, because you cannot change the climate or the weather unless you're using a directed energy weapon.
Right.
Just saying. So, total waste for me. So, anyway. Tangent, but things to think about.
Couldn't agree more.
So, where can people find you at, my dear?
So, I am on Twitter, if they can find me. I have been very shadow banned.
You mean if Twitter actually works?
If Twitter actually works. And
for people in the future?
Yes. So, my name, y'all know me as Katie, but I'm at Conspiracy Fact Katie, which is CNSPRCY Fact Katie. And you'll see my name comes up as Not Your Piece of Furniture.
And it's Katie, K-A-T-Y.
Yes. Yeah. Conspiracy Fact Katie. CNSPRCY FACTKATY.
Right. So, final thoughts for you today, my dear.
Well, I'm very glad that you had me on, Janet. It's been awesome. I feel like I've been waiting to really get to talk it out for you for a while.
But we have.
I know. And I'll be glad to come back anytime you want. You know, today was a day for me. I felt the full attack from Facebook and Twitter and censorship right. all over the place. So it's really nice to be able to have a forum with you here. And, you know, when we can get on Twitter and in the Discord and all that, it's a place of refuge. So it's really nice to know that we might all be a little crazy, but at least we have our crazy community together, and at least we can right. think for ourselves.
Right. And that is key. Never stop being a critical thinker. Never stop questioning, researching, reading, looking things up for yourself. Start small with people that maybe aren't awake. Mm-hmm. Don't hit them like the broadside of a barn with crazy stuff right off the bat. Start small. Mm-hmm. Use small things. Whatever people think are, you know, their family members or their friends are going to be receptive to hearing.
Yeah.
And then don't let up.
And
if they think you're nuts, so be it.
I think another part of that is just throw your ego out the window. Just realize that you might have been wrong about a million things before now, and you will be wrong about a lot of things in the future. But that's no excuse. It shouldn't discourage you from still seeking out the truth.
100%. I agree with that. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited we actually got to hook up and do this because, oh my God, it's been a long time in the making.
I know.
And then when I lost my Twitter, I was like, thanks, oh my God.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for setting us up, Greg.
Yeah. So anybody that I've talked to before about being on the show, you're going to either have to find me on Parler or Instagram, or you're going to have to get a hold of my husband on his account, because God only knows if I'll be back on Twitter or not anytime soon.
God only knows if Twitter will be around.
I know, right? I'm thinking, and for people that don't know, we're recording on Thursday night, but the show's not going to drop till next week on Tuesday. However, Twitter's down today. Twitter kind of fucked themselves. So did Google. So did YouTube. Facebook, all the big tech companies did a boo-boo today. So now the FCC, the Senate, and the House are after them, as well as the president and the DOJ. They've been subpoenaed to testify. So I think the reason why they took social media down today is because they're scrubbing all of the content that they allowed on the site. They removed a lot of conservative voices, a lot of small accounts, things of that nature, but they left up a lot of pedo accounts and terrorist accounts, things like that. I think they're scrubbing hard today and before they all go testify on Capitol Hill. So I think that's what's going on today. It wasn't just a purge. It's a cleanup.
Can't wait.
I know. I'm going to watch them hearings and they better do something. They just better do something. And I honest to God, as much as a lot of people enjoy Twitter and stuff, I hope they burn all of it to the ground.
I said that earlier today. I said, I honestly hope they just get rid of everything.
I hope they burn all of those big tech companies to the ground and never allow that to ever manifest again, because it is completely against your rights under the Constitution for them to do the things that they're doing with total immunity. Mm-hmm. They should never allow that to happen again.
I think they should just do that and say, this is why we can't have nice things. You're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now, Jack, you're going to prison.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, that would be great. So for me and for Katie, like I said, you can follow me. I'm not on Twitter right now because Twitter hates me. But anyway, you can follow me on Parler and you can follow me on Instagram right now at Deplorable Janet. Make sure to like, listen, subscribe, and download our podcast, write a comment, write a review. We appreciate it. Still working on the new 4Deep conspiracy site, but the chat rooms are open for the conspiracy stuff. So if you need the link to that, message me on one of the social media platforms. I'll be happy to share. So anyway, for me and for Katie, thank you for joining us for episode number 16 of Deplorable Nation, and we will see you next time.